That's a kind of an ongoing joke. Is it on? It is now. Okay. I'm colorblind. I'm not. I'm not, really. At least not in one eye. I ain't got a pocket over there either. I really am encouraged. And certainly that song, all the songs that we sang congregationally, but especially that one, if that doesn't stir your heart, you know, the skill, the capability, the talent, yes, is certainly there. And that can stir people. You know, music is very important, very, very influential. But just the words. And that's what it's all about. You know, and that's one reason why we meet here tonight. Let me clear some of this clutter. Is this fresh?
Yeah.
Amen. I was going to drink it anyway. That's okay. I ain't afraid of your bugs. I don't know if you had opportunity to be here. For those who did, it'll resonate. Was an adult Sunday school class this last Sunday. Brother Jordan, excuse me, had a little illustration that he gave about a chicken thief. Well, for those that don't know, there was a rumor that's going around. I'm usually pretty good aim. But just in case, I was looking over my notes and preparing this past Saturday before that and afterward, but especially Saturday afternoon, early evening. And I went into this room, we call it the study. We're still moving in and trying to figure out what's where. And anyway, it has a recliner. And I'm sitting there. And I took a nap. So the wife says it must be really exciting. First one falls asleep, gets a rock. I brought three. And there's more of you than I've got rocks. So anyway, don't press it. Now you put them down there. That's going to be a distraction. But anyway, there's no 3 points in a poem tonight. Just a simple thought. And I pray that it would resonate in our hearts, in our lives, as we move forward in life, as we go continue on this journey in life. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Jonathan Edwards, he was a preacher back in 1700s in our country, and he made a couple of statements. He was the one who wrote and preached Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God, and thousands of people had come to Christ through his ministry. He read his sermons, and from what I understand, I wasn't alive, I wasn't around back then, contrary to popular belief, but he was monotone, very monotone, and he read his script. But even so, reading that one, I would challenge you sometime. You can look it up. It's out there. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. From what I understand, people were holding on to the pews and holding on to the pillars and the columns, begging for God, crying out to God for mercy. The Holy Spirit of God was moving in hearts and lives. Did back in those days, and I pray likewise it would in our days. But you know where it starts? Here. Here. And that's what it's all about. You know, Jonathan Edwards, he made a comment, two things. He says, listen on purpose. Learn on purpose. And we need to do so. As we approach this evening, next Sunday, whenever the gospel is preached, wherever we're a hearer of it, learn on purpose, listen on purpose, live for Christ. That's all I can say. I mean, there's each and every day that God gives us breath is an opportunity to excel, an opportunity to live for Him. Now, I'm going to try to do the Reader's Digest condensed version. And I'm not trying to be humorous on purpose, but when I was going over this again, and as they teach you, as I have been influenced, let me put it that way, you go over your notes and you go over them, and you know, and you time yourself to see if you fall short or long. Well, last time I timed it, I was a solid hour. So we'll do abbreviated, okay? Take a vote, take a collection. Anyway, whichever. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will, please. But before we read, well, let's go ahead and read these verses, and then we'll pray. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you know we can't do this without you. We can't live for you without the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that by your grace, you'd feed us and teach us and show us through your word how we can be used for Christ to point souls to him, that they may be able to boldly proclaim, I can go in because of what you've done. Help us, Lord, now in this time, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, as we look at this particular passage back into verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God. Paul has given Timothy a charge. That word charge gives us the idea of a commission. The idea also there that he's compelling him. He's commanding him. As we've been reading, as a family, we do our devotionals, we read through the Bible. Through the year, and we're up through the middle of Deuteronomy, almost chapter 17 tonight. And anyway, most of the book of Deuteronomy up to this point, Moses is rehearsing the commands from God. It's just interesting how different things come about. You know, we've read, I don't know how many times through every year, but God shows himself new and fresh. But there are different commands, different commissions. As Moses gave to the children of Israel, Paul was given to young Timothy, God is giving to us today. I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you a commission. And I'm giving you a commission based on and under the authority of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Those who are alive and those who are dead. God, we do this. We have this charge because of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, the world, we know rumors and war and tribulations in diverse places. I don't say a tribulation period, but troubles in diverse places. He's coming soon. We have a charge to need to fulfill. We don't want to be, I don't know if you were, who all was in the military. I know there was a little bit of talk earlier about certain dads. I know Brad's dad was Army, I was just overhearing. And some of us were given a commission. You ride a horse. You were in cavalry back in the JD. You was old enough to be in, anyway. Forgive me, Lord. But anyway, we were given a commission. And if you didn't fulfill your responsibility, if you didn't fulfill your duty, you were derelict. And you could be subject to punishment in different ways. We don't want to be found derelict. God is telling us again. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. This is what we're being held accountable to, and who's holding it? Who's holding us to the fire? The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. Could be any moment. What are we being charged to do? Preach the word. And it doesn't necessarily mean behind a pulpit of wood or stone or glass. That is also applicable to each and every one in this room. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. We all are given a commission. We are charged by God to preach the word. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before God. For those who are saved, those who have been born again, you're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to have to give an answer of why you've done what you've done. What have you completed the task that I've given you to do? This is how we're to fulfill this commission. We're to preach the word. Verse number 2. We're to be instant. Again, be instant. In season, out of season. Do we understand the implication here of being instant? You know, like in hunting or fishing, or there's many other type of sporting activities, I'm sure, that are things that are in season. Certain types of game they have seasons, certain time slots, periods of the year that you can legally hunt them. If you do it out of season, it doesn't fare well. And it's not, and certainly not Christian. You know, if you're a child of God, you wouldn't do that. But shouldn't. But as far as the Word of God, as far as preaching the Word of God, there's no closed season. We're to be instant. What does it say again? In season, out of season. And the focus we want to make on tonight is this word, instant. Instant carries many different applications. Instant carries many different implications. Instant carries the idea of being pressing, of being urgent, of constant being diligent, that we are to attend to the things that are before us now. Most of the times it talks about, it gives the idea of being dealing with time, a time and place. Romans chapter 12, Pastor brought this out last Wednesday evening. Romans chapter 12:12, it says we are to rejoice and in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. It says over in Thessalonians that we're to pray without ceasing. You know, these are simplistic things. There's nothing new under the sun here, at least not with me. But we need to realize that we need to be ready at an instant. We need to be, as God gives us the opportunity, and I'm jumping way ahead. Oh, my. But the idea of being instant is immediate. It's to be quick without delay. Young people, older people, did your mama ever say, get home this instant? It didn't mean lollygag. It didn't mean drag your feet. It meant get there yesterday. The idea of instant gives us, it's a point of duration. It's on a, like if you were looking at a timeline or a number line, it's a point in life. It's a moment, an instant. We need to be ready at a moment's notice. You know, it's like with some of our military bases, strategic air commands, abbreviated SAC, SAC bases, where you have air defenses that they're ready to fly. They're ready to engage the enemy at a moment's notice. Not a 12-point checklist or when we get around to, okay, it's going to be a half hour before when the pilot goes out to the plane and takes off. No. It's like instantaneously. They're gone. They're ready. They're ready. They're standing guard. They're ready at a moment's notice. We as a Christian need to be the same way. We need to carry that same mentality of being instant. You know, so much of our society, so much of our culture today is instant, is built on that. I mean, because some of us older people can recall before some of these conveniences weren't so prevalent. But when we think of the word instant, there are certain things, and it was already mentioned previous message, things like coffee. I don't know if you drink instant coffee. We used to. That's all we used to have. I don't recommend it. Same way with rice. You know, there's instant rice. Don't take anything at all. A little bit of hot water, poof, you got something that looks like rice. Same way with tea. I don't know if you've ever, I remember the way we thought that was the greatest thing. We thought that was better than sliced bread. The best thing since sliced bread, instant tea. I mean, I'm going back a few years now. I remember when TV dinners were first coming out. Then we weren't good. Right? Remember that, JD? Anyway. But instant potatoes. I don't know if y'all eat instant potatoes. We boil the potato. Peel them. There we go. Cut them up, boil them, mash them, you know, and go from there. That's what I grew up with. They didn't have instant potatoes in my house when I was growing up. You know, when Mom would get done, she'd take the beater, the mixer, hand mixer, and she had, you know, had already put a little bit. Well, she didn't use butter. She used this poison called margarine. And I'm surprised I'm alive today. And then she put a little bit of milk in there, 2%. And she'd whip it up, you know, and of course we get to lick the beaters, and sometimes she'd shut the mixer off before we got it. But instant potatoes, I'm sorry. This just ain't got it. I bought last trip up to Maryland, I bought this back in November. I bought some oysters. And oyster stew is the best, in my opinion, the best soup base is potato soup to make oyster stew. It does, and then you add a little bit of stuff, and I won't go into that. But that makes a real good oyster stew. Well, we had some stuff in a survival food box. You know, because we were always prone, and you understand, you know, as far as prone to hurricanes and tropical storms, power going out for long periods of time. So you had food laid aside that was non-perishable that, you know, if you had to, all you'd have to do is add water. Well, anyway, I took some of that potato soup out of that box. It ruined them poor oysters. Instant can be a good thing. It can be a convenient thing. But it ain't got it when it comes to not potatoes. Oatmeal, instant oatmeal. I think we have some still in the, when we were building the house, we'd come down to work. That was our breakfast, instant oatmeal. Now what we do is steel cut, and it takes 30 minutes to cook. That's good stuff. Tang. Anybody remember? Struck a note. It was a breakfast drink developed for astronauts, wasn't it? Yeah, it was an orange-flavored drink that no telling what the ingredients are. I don't know if it's still available. You might be able to get it at the Smithsonian. But anyway, we have anyway, won't go into that. It was instant breakfast that you just put it into milk, you know. Anyway, but instant messenger, you probably use that every day. Every day. It's an instantaneous way that we can communicate one with another. You know, it's a tragic thing. People could be sitting next to each other across a table and they're texting to each other. It happens. I've seen it. Good old phone call. I'd rather talk. I don't talk very well. Right now, my voice is shot. But there's a place for it. There's a place for it. We need to be ready. We need to be ready at an instant. We need, and why? As a child of God, why should we be ready at a moment's notice? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that we're to be sober, to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, he wants to eat you up. He wants to. He can't do anything to your soul. If you're a child of God, you're truly born again. You realize that Christ paid for the penalty of your sin, paid for the penalty that you justly deserve. You call out to Him for mercy, believing in Him and the finished work of what He's done, and ask God to save you for His sake. Devil can't destroy you, but he can't take your soul. But he wants to disable you. He wants to dismember you. He wants to neutralize you in all ways he can. He's out there. Our warfare, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, is with spiritual matters, with spiritual beings. Not with flesh and blood. Now, don't think for a moment that the devil won't use somebody, a human tool, to have that conflict with. But our warfare is not with flesh and blood. But we need to be instantaneous. We need to be ready as a child of God to preach the word, to minister one to another instantaneously. We're also remember in Psalm chapter 107, verse 2, that the redeemed of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Has anyone asked you about why you do what you do? Why do you bow your head before you do lunch? Or, you know, if you're a child of God and you've been out there a length of time, at least it is where I lived for close to 50 years. I was an oddball. I mean, I know that. We don't have to solicit that. But anyway, but as a child of God, we were in the minority. I mean, truly. As a born again, and I'm going to tell you more so in this area, and I don't mean this disrespectful whatsoever, but there's a lot of people who are Christians who call themselves that. But when you ask them when they were saved, they go, huh? Yeah, are you born again? They go, what? So we need to do a checkup. But anyway, you need to be ready to give an answer. Let the redeemed of the Lord, if you're redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says to be ready, to be instant, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's not out of arrogance. It's not out of I'm better than you, out of pompous. No, it's not that. It's by grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's by the grace of God. I know that I can say that as I stand here tonight. I shouldn't be here. I'm not giving my testimony message tonight. That's another message for another time, as Lord enables. But I will tell you this. There was a time in my life, the people I associated with, anyway, I shouldn't be here. I'll just put it that way. The contract was called off, so that's a good thing. But I'm serious. No, but not a one of us deserve another breath. not a one in this room. But we need to be ready with meekness and fear to give an answer. We need to be ready in an instant, at a moment's notice. There's something that I have here, and I know you're not going to be able to see it, but I carry this in my, this is my day timer. This is my, y'all put it on your electronic form in your phone, but my daily planner. And if I didn't have this, I don't know, call it a crutch, call it whatever you want. But anyway, there's likely a lot of personal information here, a lot of important information here. But I carry this with me. You can't see it. All you see is maybe a face. It's a prayer card. And it was from a funeral. I don't know what people do around here. I haven't been to a funeral down here in Virginia, so I don't know. But I know back up in Maryland, many of the funeral homes, when somebody is, they're having a service for them, they'll have cards made up. Sometimes they have their picture on it or some other things, and maybe have a prayer on the back or have some kind of saying or whatever the case may be. But have the person's, the individual's name and his start date and the dash and then his end date, his expiration. Well, this particular individual I used to work with, he was on my crew when I worked landscaping many years ago. And he was a young fella. I was too at that time. And I remember dealing with, I was a fairly new Christian. And I remember talking to him about being born again, about being saved. And he said, and he understood, he knew what I was talking about because he went to a Bible church with a friend of his. And, quite frequently. So he knew the talk. And I said, okay, Dave, well, you know these things. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said he'd been to church, to this particular church, and somebody had been pressuring him. He says, if you may say that prayer and didn't mean it, does it matter? Does it count? And I said, no. He said, good. That shocked me. That carried with me for a long time. And I said, Dave, in another conversation, Dave, I said, you know, eternity is hanging in the balance here. He said, I'll get saved before I die. Right before I die. Have you ever heard that? Well, I don't know if it was the next day or the following Monday, whenever it was, he came in. He was visibly shaking. He came into work. He was pale. I said, what's the matter, Dave? He says, you know, you told me about this, that I may not have the opportunity. I may go out of here and get into a car wreck and never have the opportunity to get saved. And he says, I said, yeah. And he says, well, I was in this near wreck and all these horrible things went on. And I says, okay, so what are you going to do? I said, I'll do it right before I die. I said, Dave, you keep pressing. Well, the end of the season came along, and he went back to school, went to college, and I didn't hear from him. I'd see him every now and then at his dad's, where I did some work on his tour bus. But the next thing I know, many years later, I see an ad or on the news feed on the computer about a funeral. Single car accident. Medical emergency of some sort. He went out into eternity. I keep this with me to remind me to be instant. I need to be reminded when I go out of the house every day, when I go out away from the house, which isn't every day, but when I do, I try to ask myself, I try to pray, ask God, I should say, I use three prayers. Pastor brought something else the other day, and that's fine, that's good. God, give me the opportunity to be a witness. Two, help me to recognize that opportunity. And three, the boldness to take advantage of that opportunity. Because, friend, lives hang in the balance. You may not have an opportunity to sit there and declare it, open the Bible or your app on your phone or whatever that may be, to say and go through the Romans road and what have you the case, or whatever the plan of salvation that you so choose or are familiar with. But you can hand them a tract. Sometimes that's all the opportunity I get. That checkout, that person doing at the checkout. I rarely do self checkout. It gives me an opportunity. Sometimes they don't. The Holy Spirit's not impressing. Sometimes you can't and you shouldn't. When somebody's at work, you don't want to take away from, they're being paid to do a job. Or if you're at work, you're getting paid to do a job. If you have that opportunity and the Lord opens it up, fine and dandy. But you need to be sensitive there. There's a balance. But let me tell you, if it weren't for a gospel tract, this old boy wouldn't have been. I don't know who, how many. God knows. And I know one day when I go in, I'll find out. You don't know. It's like, when the opportunity may arise, but we need to be instant. We need to be ready. We need to be on guard. God's given us a charge, given us a command. I command you, I charge you, therefore, before God, as we're standing before God tonight, as we're sitting here, as we're in this place, before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, we're to preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Somebody's life, somebody's eternity could be depending on you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this opportunity.